The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
It's Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn. Today he'll be back on Monday morning. 888-727-BECK. It looks like the president has narrowed his options for Supreme Court nominee down to three now, with the main focus on two in particular. Of course, the one that most people believe, most conservatives believe, is the least desirable, Brett Kavanaugh. Some issues with him, potentially. Although, you know, everybody on the list of 25 is pretty reasonable and pretty acceptable to most people. But this is probably the least of the best, I guess. And Raymond Kethledge is the other one who might be a little more solidly constitutionalist, textualist. Amy Coney Barrett, she's not as much, apparently, according to what I've been reading.
Top three, though.
In the focus, but she made the top three. Obviously, missing from the list, anybody we wanted the most. Although, Mike Lee in particular.
Trump might pull it out of his back pocket, though.
Wouldn't that be great? I mean, I don't anticipate that happening, but it would be awesome if he just surprised us and picked Mike Lee. Or his brother, Thomas Lee, who's
Mike,
on the Utah Supreme Court.
Get up here.
That'd be great. Great. It's not going to happen, but it'd be great. It's just that this time I was a little afraid that because he picks such a solidly constitutional guy, such a solidly conservative guy, apparently, in the last Supreme Court Justice, right, Gorsuch, I was worried that this time he might, you know, go another way. So it was a little bit more palatable to the left.
Well, and look, he still sticks to the list. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't waver from the list. So he sticks with that, which should make everyone, you know, at least pleased. And then he goes to the candidate that most pleasing to the left. I don't know that, you know, he's been getting beat up. He gets beat up every day, every minute, every hour. I mean, at least he can try to, if he does this, they might ease up a little bit. I don't think they will.
He likes the fight. So fight that fight. If there's anybody who likes to mix it up, it's Donald Trump. I think he loves the battle. He's stirring things up in Montana right now with that speech he made yesterday at the rally.
Yeah.
there's just nothing the guy won't say.
No.
So it's fascinating, but President Trump said yesterday, I think I have it down to four people. And I think of the four people, I have it down to three or two. What? Wait.
Right.
So
you have four on the list?
I think I have it down to four people. And of the four, it's really two.
It's really three or two.
I think they're all outstanding. He said, I don't want to say the four, but I have it down to four. I'll have a decision made in my mind by Sunday. We'll announce it on Monday. So he's sticking to that plan. On the short list, supposedly, were federal judges Thomas Hardiman, Amul Tabar, Joan Larson, Mike Lee, supposedly are still in contention. Mike Lee is supposedly still in contention.
Ooh.
That's pretty interesting. So it may just be speculation because he didn't say, hey, it's down to Kethledge and Kavanaugh.
No, he did not.
He didn't say that.
No, he did not.
This is speculation
by him. He said it was down, he had down to four and maybe three or two.
I mean, that's, so he put it way better than anybody else could have.
Thank you.
I mean, that says it all right there. I have it down to four. And maybe three or
and
two.
And of the four, maybe three or two.
What
don't you understand about that?
He definitely has a way, doesn't he? He's got a way of speaking, a way of conducting himself. It's interesting. Of course, yesterday, too, pretty interesting day with the resignation of Scott Pruitt, the EPA head.
Boy, they're talking about a guy that took a beating.
Oof.
Nonstop.
Well, but he brought it on himself with all the spending. For one thing,
some of the people on his side were questioning whether, you know, some of that was Yeah. A little overdone.
Yeah. And it probably is. It probably is a little bit overdone. You know, he was getting accosted in restaurants by leftists. He was in the news almost every day being bashed by somebody about something. So,
well, he was killing the planet is what he was doing as EPA director. And he was killing the planet.
As that leftist mother said to him, we need an EPA chief who believes in climate change. Wait, what?
Oh yeah, I mean that's what they believe, and look, the guy that's the interim director doesn't believe in it either. So he's going to be get ready for another beating of that.
Why is it necessary to believe in a hoax to be EPA chief? That's what I would have been asking people. Excuse me, you want me to believe in the biggest hoax ever perpetrated on mankind?
My gosh, climate change is a hoax now.
It is.
Wow,
it is. Oh, no. Now has the climate changed? A little bit. Yeah, it always does. But is it catastrophic and man-caused? No. Stop it. It's just ridiculous.
He doesn't say that to the mother, though.
No, he didn't say anything to her.
And maybe that's the good thing. I mean, when you're in a restaurant and whatever happens is not good for you if you reply.
I'll tell you this. He handled that restaurant encounter a lot better than I would have. I would not have sat there silent. Just looking at her. I mean, what else you have for me?
Well, that's what I mean. So, but what if he replies, right, then it's even worse.
It's a no-win situation.
Right. And it's,
yeah, definitely.
You know, because you want to. You want to just say, look.
You desperately want to.
Why don't you sit down, pumpkin. Let's have a little talk.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Exactly. I might have said exactly that, just not as politely.
Another thing is maybe, how about... Did I come over and bother you?
I know.
When you were eating with your family? Because I don't know about me. I was just sitting here trying to eat, and then you came up and accosted me.
I hate this new thing. I hate accosting people in public, and that's what they're all about now.
Boy, you aren't kidding.
This is going to be the new wave, I think, of events as they unfold with people in office that the left doesn't like. They're just going to continue this tactic. Because they know they've struck a nerve. Because it's despicable. And they like to be despicable. You know what else is fascinating? Are all of the scandals completely ignored by the left during Obama's reign of terror on this country? In particular.
Scandal-free administration of Barack Obama?
That's exactly the one I'm talking about.
To?
Yes. That is the very one.
You have some made-up list of some things that happened?
No, I have an actual list of some actual things that occurred in Obama's EPA. For instance, in 2012, EPA was charged with lethal experiments on hundreds of unsuspecting subjects. That was according to Forbes magazine. The EPA illegally used social media to push for new EPA regulations. A subpoena was issued after McCarthy deleted nearly 6,000 text messages. Articles of impeachment were introduced against EPA head McCarthy after she was caught repeatedly lying to Congress. The EPA inspector general said McCarthy was lying when she said Michigan deserved blame for the Flint crisis. After the Colorado mine disaster, the EPA covered up incriminating evidence to shield its agents from prosecution. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
I had forgotten about a lot of these.
Yeah.
The EPA knew risk of a blowout before the Colorado mine disaster and then later covered up the evidence. The EPA allowed a known, convicted child molester to remain on the payroll for years, putting him in a position to interact with the public. I'd forgotten about that.
Right.
McCarthy was accused of permitting a workplace hostile to women, including letting workers download porn, even child porn. Gina McCarthy spent $630,000 on international travel from 2013 to 2016. Well, nobody talked about her spending.
Nope.
Ever.
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
not a peep.
I mean, while it's possible that, Scott Pruitt was doing some things that were violating some issues.
Yeah.
But not like
questionable.
This.
Obama's EPA hid experimental data debunking the 2015 ozone rule. Obama EPA employees earned overtime without justification. The EPA warned Alaskans to stop burning wood to keep warm while conducting water tests in Alaska. EPA agents treated locals like enemy combatants, even pointing a shotgun at a septuagenarian. That's somebody over the age of 70. I just translated that for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
After committing one of the worst environmental atrocities in Colorado history with the Gold King mine disaster, the EPA still insisted it should have control over the nearby Animas River. And wasn't that the river that turned?
Yeah. They had to turn orange or red or something. It was some weird, strange, high color. It was.
I mean, that made news for about 3 minutes. And then it was gone. Nobody talked about it anymore.
Done.
Even as the Obama administration portrayed the Flint, Michigan water crisis as a failure of Michigan's Republican governor, records show his EPA knew about the issue but didn't tell anybody. The EPA threatened a Wyoming man with $20 million in fines for creating an ecologically beneficial pond for his farm livestock. The EPA's WaterSense program urged kids not to take many baths.
Oh,
the EPA is creating a wireless system to track how long hotel guests spend in the shower.
Oh, remember that?
All coming back.
Yes.
Because these things weren't talked about for days and weeks and months on end. They might have been mentioned,
and then it was over.
Because the media wasn't interested. There are 43 of these. I don't even have time to list all the scandals during the Obama administration.
Wow.
That went virtually unreported. And even though, you know, we pay attention to this stuff every day and look for this stuff and talk about this stuff every day, I had forgotten about a lot of these because nobody spent any time with it.
Right. But I mean, at least we did talk about it at the time.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of
these.
We just didn't beat him to death.
Right. I mean, how long do you beat it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There were too many other things going on.
Correct. Every day.
Right. But now that there's a guy in office that they hate, it's the worst thing in the world, and he's the worst EPA head ever. So, hey, just a little reminder. In Obama's scandal-free administration.
Thank you. In this list alone, I mean, from 2013, May 14th, May 31st, June 4th, June 5th, June 7th, June 10th. I mean,
it was always something.
Always something.
Yeah, really amazing. 888-727-BECK. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Pat Gray, Jeffy for Glenn. It's really sad news. Ed Schultz died.
I know.
I mean, did we have our battles with him?
Absolutely.
In fun political ways? Of course. Of course we did. But wow, that's very, very sad. He was only 64. Now people, I never met Ed Schultz in person, so I didn't know him. People said great things about him yesterday. People who'd worked with him, people who did know him, said he was a really good guy. And so Ed, they didn't really say what the cause of death was other than natural causes.
Natural causes. Mm-hmm. Not sure what that,
what that means. No.
Is that too much pork in your diet? Is that
heart attack?
Anything?
Stroke? Yeah. Sometimes I don't know.
Too bad.
Cancer? Is that a natural cause?
I don't think so, but maybe. They have not said, so I don't know that we will. I mean, I guess sometime down the line we'll have to know, right? That usually comes out.
Usually does. Yeah.
Especially if you're any kind of a celebrity.
But condolences, certainly wife and family and those who do.
Very sad.
888-727-BECK. Then we have this grown man in the Whataburger little attack in San Antonio the other day. 30 years old, this guy walks past these three teenagers sitting there having lunch, picks up one of their large drinks and throws it in the face of this 16-year-old kid. Again, 30-year-old grown man. Throws his drink in his face because he's wearing a Trump cap. Also tore the cap off of his
head. Yeah, ripped hair out of his head. Ripped some hair out.
And stole it from him. Well, fortunately, the guy was recognized, found, and fired from his job. So, a little poetic justice there. I don't know why all of a sudden And maybe it's not all of a sudden. I guess this kind of stuff has been coming for a while. But how do you think that's okay? How have we gotten to the point where a grown man thinks it's okay to treat 16-year-old kids like this?
I don't know. This was, you know, you said it was
unbelievable.
A lunch, but it was in the middle of the night, really.
Oh,
it was
yeah,
like 2 a.m. But
right.
so nobody's in there, right? I mean,
yeah.
That may have been where he felt empowered, is that the kids, the boys were in there, they're eating, nobody else is in there, and he can be a jerk, you know, without anybody else confronting him, because he knows the 16-year-olds probably won't confront him, and they really didn't, and probably shouldn't have.
You know, it just seems like there was a time when you would see something that you disagreed with and think something to yourself and move on.
Or,
you know,
or you would just say, what are you doing wearing that Make America Great hat again?
Right.
Don't you know? What are you doing? You like Trump?
Joke around a little bit with him.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But
I mean, it's okay to disagree. It's not anymore, though.
No, it's not.
Not even close. And that's sad.
Well, and it's frightening because it feels, you know, like we're on the brink of just coming apart at the seams.
I know.
And that's what a lot of people are predicting. We had that survey that came out last week that said that so many Americans right now, wasn't it? I think it was like 48% of Americans believe that we're within 5 years of Civil War.
Yeah.
And at this pace, it's hard not to believe that. Unless we get a grip on it. You know, I see Beto O'Rourke bumper stickers from time to time. And don't yell and scream and go crazy over the person who has it on their car.
Let me tell you something.
Or has a lawn sign.
There's a Beto yard sign in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I have ripped that thing down.
Have you?
Kicked it. Uh-huh. Thrown it up against the house. I can't tell you how many times, and yet they keep putting it back up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what the deal. Of course not.
No. I mean, I haven't seen that many of them, thankfully.
No, I have not. I've seen a yard sign and a bumper sticker. That's
saw one
I've
last
seen.
Week. And we've so that makes between yard signs and bumper stickers. Beto O'Rourke, by the way, if you're not familiar, is the guy running against Ted Cruz in the blue wave. There's a blue wave sweeping Texas. Blue wave. Okay, and this is the guy. This is the Irish-American who, for some reason, has adopted a Hispanic nickname. He's not Hispanic, but
no,
he's got
he's
a
not.
Hispanic nickname. I thought that was cultural appropriation. I thought that was verboten. You weren't supposed to do that.
Not if he's just even. Beto is just what he's been called, Pat. He's just called that. It's not appropriating anything. He was just called that.
You can't be called that. That's somebody else's culture. You're appropriating someone else's culture. And I won't hear of it. And yet, Beto continues to
he does. Well, he's part of the blue wave. And we've seen, like you said, we've got, what, two or three bumper stickers in the Metroplex and a yard sign.
And three or four yard signs
so,
now. Yeah.
You want to talk about a wave.
I think we're up to 7 total sightings.
Ooh.
It's
overwhelming.
It's almost a tidal wave at this point. A tidal wave.
Of Beto O'Rourke.
Now, here's what blows me away. According to a poll last week, Ted Cruz is ahead of Beto O'Rourke, but only by 5 points.
No way.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
I don't believe that. 15, maybe. Not 5. 888-727. Beck.
Are you interested in your financial freedom? I know that I am. On Thursday, July 19th, Glenn is going to be hosting a free online investment trading broadcast that could be very valuable to you. It's on a new asset class that personally he has been investing in for a while. I have as well. Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies. You've heard us talking about this on the air. You might not understand them. They're very difficult to understand unless you have someone who really gets it. And this is going to be a really easy way to understand them. We've been talking about these for a long time. It's a great way to restore your financial freedom if you can understand them and do it right. Would you like to learn more about cryptocurrencies? Would you like some free investment training? BeckCryptoShow.com is the place to go to register for a free special event right now. Glenn and Tika Tiwari from Palm Beach Letter are going to walk you through the new case for Bitcoin, and Tika is going to give you the names of 3 cryptocurrencies that he recommends that you should buy right now. Go to BeckCryptoShow.com and register for this free event to make sure that you don't miss it. BeckCryptoShow.com.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Coming up right after this program, make sure you check out a special edition of my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, on the Blaze radio.com, BlazeTV.com. We did a special show. The Blaze Got Talent. A month or two ago?
A couple months.
And got really good feedback on it. So if you missed that.
Yeah, the show is really good.
Really a fun show.
Amazing talent that you have out there.
Seriously.
I know.
Seriously good talent. So make sure you tune in immediately following the Glenn Beck program. 888-727-BECK. So according to a number of black female leaders, top Democrats Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer failed to defend Maxine Waters after the lawmaker encouraged the harassment of Trump employees wherever they are in public, restaurants, department stores, I assume in church. If you see them there, you can start screaming at them at the top of your lungs. Well, Democratic leadership didn't back her up because I think they were being a little bit, I don't know, responsible. Maybe
a tad, but well, that's one of the first times ever. I mean, I will say that it was shocking that we decided that. Wow,
yeah, I was surprised.
Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi didn't come to her aid.
I was actually surprised.
I know, because they usually toe that line, man. It doesn't matter.
But because Maxine Waters is black, they're racist for not backing her up. They must endorse everything she does, no matter how hateful or ridiculous it is.
Well, it's just
silly.
Itself is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is just silly. And like we said, I was actually surprised they did the right thing there.
Yeah.
And said, no, you know what? That's un-American. To hassle people in public like that.
Come on.
Can you do it? I don't know. It depends. Your rights kind of stop where you're infringing on other people's. And they have just as much right to be in that restaurant or that department store as you do. And to try to drive them out is sort of fascistic, isn't it? I mean, you're trying to take away their right to be there.
Yeah.
You're trying to make their life miserable. And it just shouldn't be done. And that's kind of what they said. But because Maxine is black, that's a racist viewpoint now.
I mean, that was, of course, we definitely should have seen that coming because it absolutely is going to be seen that way by many. But, you know, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi also know that they want to be able to go out and eat dinner places and be left alone.
Yes, they don't want this reciprocated.
Yeah, that's correct.
In any way. And I think that's great because this thing could really escalate. As we were talking about a few minutes ago, we got to get a grip on this, on the nastiness in the country.
Yes.
Can't we disagree without being disagreeable? isn't that the question we love to ask?
Doggone it, Pat.
You know, isn't that right,
yes.
Jeffy? Can't we all just get along? Can't we?
We've got to find a path.
Love. You know, I think England Dan and John Ford Cooley said it best when they said, love is the answer. Before even knowing the question, they said that was the answer. So let's return to the friendly days of England Dan and John Ford Cooley and remember that. You know what I love seeing is are all these stories about the kind of shape Sweden is in now, because here we are with this socialist movement in America where we've got all these Democrats who really aren't Democrats. They're socialists, and they're just using the Democrat Party.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the head of the DNC already said that's the wave of the future. That's our party.
Right. And we've been saying that for years. Democrats and socialists are the same thing. And so as we head in that direction, usually the countries that are held up are not Venezuela, because that's obviously a failed state. Cuba, failed state. China, we all know there's a lot of oppression and hundreds of millions of people in poverty there. So they always turn to Sweden and Denmark and Norway and Finland for your examples. Well, we've had story after story lately of what kind of shape Sweden and these other nations, these Scandinavian countries, are in. They are taking a beating right now. Just 9 weeks left in their political campaigning in Sweden. The latest polls estimate the level of support for Sweden's Social Democrats is at about 25%.
Wow.
People are so tired of the socialist policies there that the Social Democrats are in danger of losing for the first time in a really long time. Well, wait a minute. I thought this was your Shangri-La. I thought this was where they're really doing it right and we should go by the European socialist model. That's kind of what we're told all the time. That's what's inferred all the time. But what's happening is people see this whole thing starting to crumble under this social welfare that's going on.
Correct.
It costs a lot of money to offer everybody free education, free health care, guaranteed jobs, free housing if you need it. I mean, you just can't afford that. It's got to come from someplace. There's just not a magical government tree that's growing money to pass out to people. And so it's catching up to them, even in the nirvana that is Sweden. Even in Finland, where they just did the minimum income thing, they did a lottery and drew out a bunch of names, and it didn't really even have much to do with your income level, but they started sending people, I think it was $2,500 for the year. And just, here's free money. Go spend it with whatever you want, however you want. And they were going to continue that policy for a couple of years, and it went so poorly for them in Finland, they decided, yeah, you know what? We're going to stop now. We're not going to go for the rest of the year and a half that we have on this program because it ain't working.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would look, for a basic minimum income would work if you were to get all other programs. Which you'll never do. That'll never happen. If you were to get rid of all other programs, all other welfare programs, and just say, we'll give you so much money a year or, you know, monthly or whatever, however you want to work it out, possible that you might be able to make it work.
I have my doubts that it would work even then.
But you're never going to convince anyone to get rid of all the other programs.
No.
Because they'll believe that they're getting robbed of the program that they're already on.
Right, exactly. You can't get rid of the social programs you already have. Just like you can't get rid of the taxes that you already have. Which is why when people talk about the fair tax, and they say, well, this replaces it, you don't understand. This is it's a great tax because it's just on the new products you buy, and it gets rid of all the other taxes.
Every other federal
tax in the world goes away, as well as the IRS. And I always thought, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
Those taxes never go away. Would I love that? You bet. Would I love to abolish the IRS? You bet. Are we ever going to? No.
No.
I mean, I don't foresee it. It would be a miracle to make that happen.
Oh, no way.
Don't see that happening. But it's interesting to see all of these socialist policies that are being tried all over the world just begin to crumble. And in fact, we're trying a bunch of them here with the $15 an hour minimum wage in places like Seattle. And it's not working.
No, it is not.
And kids aren't able to find jobs. And so you're cutting back on jobs. And then when you're trying to push this in other areas, the $15 minimum wage, what do? Instead of hiring new people, they go automated.
Which turns into, then you get more talk about basic minimum income, right? Because people can't find jobs. Well, how about we don't pay them the $15 an hour?
It's a never-ending cycle here.
Definitely a never-ending cycle. It's really strange how that they don't see it. Now, there's some countries, you know, on top of all of the programs, and then there in Europe, you're talking about migration for new settlers into those countries that they're just allowing. I mean, it's been
that's going really well for them. It's going really well.
I mean, Merkel has lost pretty much her battle in Germany because they're saying, Angela, we love taking all these people, but no more. Relax on it, baby.
That's the thing. There comes a time when you just can't do it anymore.
And Hungary is like, we never wanted them. We don't want them now. If you want to come to Hungary, we'll talk to you about coming in, but no.
That's why right now, with all of the emphasis on the immigration situation, it is now considered the top issue in the United States of America. It's even considered above the economy and health care as the most important issue that's going to determine Americans' vote ahead of the midterms coming up. Now, I think Democrats see that as, well, that's a good thing for us because they can't stand Trump's policy of separating right. families. And while separating families certainly isn't a popular strategy, that doesn't mean people want you to just open up the border and Correct. Let everybody come who wants to come.
Correct.
And they're going to misunderstand that, I think.
I think many of them already do.
They're going to misunderestimate what that means, you see. they're gonna misunderestimate us in the meantime. And they're going to misunderestimate what that means at the polls. In the words of George Bush. So while the zero tolerance thing has been tough going and the Trump administration has taken a beating for it, they still don't want illegals to just be allowed to come as much as they want, go back and forth as they please, don't even worry about the border. We don't need any security there.
I don't either. I'm on that side.
Are you on that
I'm
side?
I'm on that side.
Yeah,
the
you're there now.
Side.
Mm-hmm.
On the hateful side.
The hateful side?
Yeah. I don't want them coming back and forth. I don't want them coming to the country. I want to put a closed side up. We're closed.
No vacancy.
Blink.
I do want to. I mean, the border has got to be secured. And we just never have. We've never done that. At least not in the last 50 years. We have not secured the border. And that should be the first priority of any discussion on immigration. And until you've done
Absolutely.
That, you can't fix the problem. 888-900-7273BECK. That's 7273BECK. This is something. According to a study, a survey in Great Britain, only 2/3 of Generation Z, which is roughly 16 to 22-ish.
Okay.
Only 2/3 of them identify as exclusively heterosexual. 66%. Meaning 34% or something else?
Well, I mean, you don't want to limit your options.
Bi or gay?
You
know, trans? Whatever?
Yeah.
LGBTQIA+.
Plus? Yeah.
We don't want to miss any option. We don't want to exclude any possibility.
I mean, they're making it all okay. If that's for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, and apparently, according to this research, among millennials, so that's a generation before the Generation Z, right? Generation Z, I believe, is the latest generation.
Okay.
Well, they can't be the latest if they're 16, because there's going to be one after that, which are what? What are those called? People who are born in the last 15 years. Anyway, among punks.
Punks.
Yes,
little
you're
punks.
Right. That's little exactly what the punk generation. Among millennials, 71% say they're exclusively heterosexual. That's still low. 85% in Gen X and 88% of baby boomers. Research suggested that social media is playing a big part of this, with young people more likely to be aware of different sexualities.
Right.
Of experimentation being more open and fluid in their attitudes.
Yep.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is interesting. I watched a show.
And you can see that reflected in the TV programs.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
And movies.
Well, I mean, we're getting, what's-her-face is getting hollered at now because she's going to play a transgender person, right?
Scarlett Johansson.
Scarlett Johansson.
Mm-hmm.
And the trans community.
And how dare she play a transsexual person when she's not transsexual?
I won't hear of an actress acting. I won't have enough. That's just enough. That's enough.
Well, that should go to a trans person. If you have a trans role, it should go to a trans actor. That's what they believe.
I know.
I haven't given it a lot of thought. I mean, not as much as I probably should.
They've already got it. Looking at it from their point of view, you have the you know, the Italian American group that, you know, they all play in the mafia movies. Mm-hmm. You have the Native American actors and actresses that they all play in any parts that any shows that use Native Americans. That those are the, you know, they pull from that crowd.
Yep.
Which is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, I got no problem with that whatsoever. So, you know, from their point of view, I guess Hollywood should be doing that
so
too.
So if you have a trans part, it should be a trans actor.
Should be a trans actor.
However, how many trans actors do you know with the notoriety of Scarlett Johansson?
Right. And worthy enough of drawing a crowd.
Yeah,
correct.
You want a star and you want people to come to your movie.
You want an actress.
It's crazy. 888-727-BECK.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK. Scott Pruitt resigned as EPA head yesterday. In the meantime, another scandal from the EPA sort of spilled out. And I don't know if this was a final straw or what. But a senior scheduler, Madeline Morris, was fired last summer for allegedly questioning the practice of deleting items from the official calendar at Scott Pruitt's behest. So that's kind of blowing up too, and maybe he, you know, maybe that was the final straw.
And, you know, there were some other things that they said that he asked them to do. I mean, when you are the boss, what's too far asking employees what to do for you?
Well, if it's illegal, that's too far.
Eh.
Can we agree on that? Or?
What's illegal?
Of course, I forgot who I was talking to for a second. And again, this ignores the 43 scandals.
Right, of course, of course.
Under Gina McCarthy's reign of terror at the EPA and Barack Obama. 43.
I know, it's amazing.
That the media... It couldn't care less about. They don't care about this stuff.
We went down some of that list last hour.
Yeah, there's not even time to go over all of it.
And some of them, you go, oh, that's right. And then we moved on. Oh, that's right. Then we moved on.
I remember talking about a lot of these. And then they just disappeared.
Let's go away. Poof.
Because, I mean, I think we talked about it on talk radio, but
sure.
I don't think it was picked up by CNN or MSNBC. They certainly didn't spend any time with it if they did pick it up at all. 888-727-BECK. Let's go to John in Indiana. John, hi. You're on the Glenn Beck Program with Pat and Jeffy.
Good to talk to you, boys.
You too.
I want to go back to the immigration thing and put forth a proposition that immigration is an obsolete concept and that we need to do something completely different. This is tied in, immigration is tied in directly with imperialism. The left always says imperialism is bad and you got to stop it. Mm-hmm. Well, your basic function materialism is one group of people going someplace else to live, people moving their residence. Well, if that's imperialism under, say, the Spanish in the old days, and it was organized by a government to get rid of people or to conquer territory, it's still people moving.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just people coming over your borders because it's way crappier where they're from, it's still people moving from place to place. Now, that might have worked when the world was kind of empty, but we're a little bit full up in all the habitable zones. So I think we're at a position now where we need to say, everybody just... stay where you were born, dig in, and make that place better. But, you know, we tried that when we tried to take Americanism around the world and, you know, show people how to make cars and play baseball, and they called us imperialists for doing it. So you can't satisfy the left. They're completely unreasonable.
Yeah.
But immigration should die. If imperialism's got to go, then immigration's got to go.
Yeah, are you talking imperialism or colonialism?
Well, colonialism, imperialism, you know, it was basically guys at the top, you know, pushing people in and out. I mean, you can't shift populations anymore. There's nowhere to run to. Dig in and, you know,
well,
defend what you got because that's where you're at.
Thanks, John. Appreciate the call. There's definitely something to staying where you are and making it better. And we never discuss that.
No, we don't. And we never discuss it at all. And even some countries are asking, Syria, I believe, is asking some of their former people to come back and help them rebuild.
Well, and they should.
Yeah.
Look at how many people. Should. Look at how many men between 18 and 34, like fighting age, just left. Just instead of defending their country, instead of trying to make it better, instead of fighting for where they lived, they just left and went to Europe. I mean, millions. So what responsibility do people in their country have of making their country habitable? I think they have a responsibility.
I think so too.
In fact, I know they do, and we all know they do. But we never talk about, you know, Mexico taking some responsibility for the shape that that country's in and trying to make it a better place to live. I mean, you're talking about one of the highest murder rates in the world.
Oh, yeah.
On the scale of a war zone. On the scale of like Syria and Iraq.
The tens of thousands.
Yeah. And with a population of one third the United States of America, they had, I think it was 5,000 to 10,000 more murders last year. I mean, that's unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
It's unbelievable. During the campaign, 182 politicians and candidates were murdered. 182. The situation's out of control there. And if people can't afford to live there, something's got to be done by the people of Mexico.
Right.
You got to rise up and make it better. And it's interesting because rather than encourage that, this new president, who's a big leftist, a socialist, the most left-wing person elected in Mexico since probably the 30s. And he's talking about, well, everybody has a basic human right to come into the United States.
Of course they do.
Yeah.
No, they don't.
There is no basic human right to sneak across our border illegally.
No.
So, in contrast to that, the First Lady of Honduras came to the border, and she was talking to her people and encouraging them to go back home and stay there. And she encouraged her people of Honduras to stay there and help us transform it and make it better so that you don't need to come to the United States. Make Honduras better. What a concept. What a concept. Really? You could maybe stay there, educate yourself there, learn a skill there.
Whatever resources your country has, let's make it work.
Let's take advantage of them.
Yes.
Let's exploit our resources and let's make it a better place to live. This
seems like a no-brainer.
It does. It does. Travis in North Dakota, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
Morning, boys. How are you doing today?
Good.
I don't care. Hey, you're talking about the living wage thing in Sweden, and they're wanting to do that here. In my opinion, the best way to get a living wage and a good minimum wage is you don't need to say that. You just need the jobs. Right now in Williston, we're short at least 5,000 to 6,000 people that I'm aware of at the last I heard to go to work.
Yeah. 5,000 to 6,000?
I think more than that.
5,000 to 6,000.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it is more than that. That is just in my area. But I have a revolving door of people coming in to apply for, I own a trucking company, and these people come in and either they can't pass a drug test or I have them say, well, can you just sign my sheet for unemployment saying that I was looking for a job?
That's actually the biggest problem that they have in South Texas and West Texas, down in Midland and stuff with the driving, hauling oil and everything around with truck drivers. They'll train you to do it. You give you money, they'll train you to do it, but they can't. So many people come in, can't pass the drug test.
Can't pass the drug test or don't want to go to work. I have colleagues, friends of mine that own their own businesses as well. And they can't. They need labor hands. Can't find labor hands. People just to run shovels, turn wrenches, use hammers, even operate equipment. They still have to pass a drug test. They can't find help. Nobody can find help. We're to the point where we can't hire people. We have to buy them. You know, basically we have to spend so much money to get them to come to work for us that are it's causing an inflationary deal up here. But
wow, that's amazing.
We can't find help and. and I've got friends across the country I've talked to in Iowa, in a bunch of different places, that it's not just here, it's nationwide. Yes. Nobody can find help that's qualified, wants to go to work, or can go to work because of their current drug situation.
Now, what city are you in North Dakota?
I'm in Williston. I'm right in the heart of the Bakken.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so that's still booming?
It's picking up again. It's getting really here right now. Summer's here. You know, frost is out of the ground. Everybody's really going to work, and we just can't find help. It's really a struggle to find people to go to work.
And the oil industry pays pretty well, right?
Yes, they do.
Oh, very well. I mean, but the problem is, you know, people come here thinking they're going to kick gold bricks out of their way walking down the street. They don't realize that, yeah, it pays well, but you have to work for it. I mean, it is, you start at the bottom unless you're already been in it, and you can move to a different spot laterally and go up from there. But if you're going to come up here and start with no experience, you have to work.
And I don't want to do that. I don't want to work. I wanted to start at maybe vice president of the company or maybe CEO. That's where I want to begin.
And that's
the mindset of the millennials, isn't it?
Yes.
They want to start out in managerial positions, and they don't know what they're doing. They don't even know how to run the shovel, let alone tell you how to run the shovel.
They want to start out where their parents ended up.
Yes.
That's what they want to do. Appreciate it. Thanks, Travis.
And they know exactly, you know, you said he tried to make you think that they didn't know what they were talking about. I mean, they've seen it. They've seen people do that stuff before.
Yeah, they've watched it on TV.
Once you've seen it, you know how to do it.
Mm-hmm. They've talked to their dad about their job.
Same thing.
They know how to do that.
Same thing.
There's nothing to it. I mean, this older generation makes it seem like it's so tough and you got to work your whole life for what you have. Uh-uh. No, I'm starting there.
It sure does seem that way.
888-727 back. Pat Gray and Jeffy. Glenn's back on Monday. It shows you who really cares about you. Jeffy and I do. I mean, we are here for you on Independence Week. Right. We're here. Is Stu here? No.
Nope.
Is Glenn here?
No. Nope.
Pat Gray is here. Jeff Fisher is here.
Thank you.
That's who cares about you.
We do. We care about you.
We do. We care about you and your family's health.
Not all the family.
No.
Well, I mean, Pat may be all the family, but not me.
Your extended family that's like in Arkansas, yeah, I'm not sure I care about them that much. But can they hear the signal? Well, yes, they can.
Yeah, they can.
They actually can. So we do. We love them a great deal.
Never mind. Forget what I said.
Right. It is a national show, so where are you going to go with that? 888-727 back. Of course, Scott Pruitt is out at the EPA. The other thing is, the other big news is that apparently President Trump has narrowed the field down to, he said four. And of those four, maybe three or two. It's an exact quote.
I don't know why you think that's so so bad.
I love it.
The man just...
The way he thinks and speaks.
It's clear as day.
It's just awesome. So that means to all the experts that the two most likely are Kavanaugh and Kethledge. But he didn't say that. So that's just speculation. He has also met with and spoken to and on the short list is Thomas Hardiman, Amul Tapar, Joan Larson, and Mike Lee. That's interesting.
Right?
So apparently he made the short list.
I mean, I doubt it.
Me too. Yeah, it's...
He's not going to want to lose the Senate seat.
I don't think it's likely. I mean, Mike would take it, obviously, and I think he's made that pretty clear. He would take it if it was offered.
It's a good gig.
Yeah, he's wanted to be... I mean, he's loved the Supreme Court since he was 10 years old.
Right.
Shows how geeky he is. Also, his love for the Constitution.
I know. Isn't that what the Supreme Court is supposed to... I don't know if I'm right or not, so I just want to be clear. But the Supreme Court is supposed to look at things and see how constitutional they are.
Well, I don't know. Let's see. What did Justice Ginsburg say about that?
You should certainly be aided by all the Constitution writing that has gone on since the end of World War II.
Wait, what? That doesn't include ours. So
I would not look to the U.S. Constitution were drafting a Constitution in the year 2012. I might look at the Constitution of South Africa, That was a deliberate attack.
That just makes you laugh out loud to hear it. It would be funny if it weren't so...
It weren't so non-funny.
Absolutely horrifying.
...to have a fundamental instrument of government that embraced basic human rights.
Yeah, we don't have that here. We
don't have.
There's no basic human rights in the United States.
No.
That's why you see all these labor camps all over the place.
Had an independent judiciary.
I wish we had an independent judiciary. Wonder where they got that idea. Why didn't those 56 idiots think of an independent judiciary? Here she is, part of the highest level of the independent judiciary. She's talking about South Africa.
It really is. I think
she thinks
a great piece of work that was done.
Yeah.
Much more recently than the U.S. Constitution.
It's newer.
Canada.
Right.
It's better.
Of course. Obviously.
Yeah. Has a Charter of Rights and Freedoms. Dates from
Charter of Rights and Freedoms. I wish we had that.
Which we don't.
You know, something like, I don't know.
Because we're old.
What's it called? What would you call something like a Charter of Rights and a Bill of Rights? Something like that. If only we had that.
If it was, well, Canada does.
No foresight on the part of those 56 old white guys.
1982
is when Canada did.
Certainly look at the European Convention on Human Rights.
The European Convention on Human Rights. That's first and foremost.
It's one of my favorite conventions on human rights.
How many people we just kill and just kick off in the ditches.
Yeah, the piles of dead bodies on the streets every morning. They have to come by and clean up.
Human rights. None.
So, yes, why not take advantage?
Why not?
Of what there is elsewhere in the world.
That is unbelievable. That is seriously unbelievable. She said that in 2012. She's still in the Supreme Court in 2018. How is that possible after saying that?
I don't know.
She should have been impeached. You should have impeached her right after that speech, because...
Did she ever walk that back, though? I mean, did she ever try to...
Not that I can remember.
Did she ever try to explain that away? Like, we were just hypothetically...
I don't think she ever feels the need to walk anything back.
Kicking around, you know, constitutions.
She's 85 years old. She thinks what she thinks, and I don't think she cares anymore. You know? And it's interesting that she and Scalia were such good friends.
I know.
Vacations together with their spouses, and, I mean, hung out, and were apparently... close buddies. It's weird to me. All right, John in New York. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Good morning, gentlemen. First time caller. How you doing?
Good.
I'm calling in regards to basically a story about my grandfather.
Okay.
He came over from Italy. Mm-hmm. I still look at his green card every day.
Wow.
You look at his green card every day?
Every day. I have it in the lockbox, the firebox. He passed away a few years ago.
Okay.
So I was lucky enough to be born in the United States, and very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
My point being is there's work enough for everybody. Come in the right way.
Mm-hmm.
He worked at the GE in Schenectady, New York for 45 years. Got a pension, got everything.
Wow.
So it's not like we're chasing people out. If they come, Ellis Island, right, we're Statue of Liberty.
Yep.
Had all this publicity over the weekend.
Yes, it
His
did.
His name is on the plaques and everything. His family name is on the plaques and everything down in Ellis Island. So, question, they came in ships by the groves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they all come the right way...
It's not a problem.
Not
a problem, right?
Right.
I think we're all in agreement on that.
Thanks, John. Appreciate it.
We're all in agreement on that. I have no problem with that whatsoever.
We're advocates of legal immigration. Big immigration advocates. Just come legally, and we absolutely love legal immigrants because they bring a vitality and hopefully a love for this country and an excitement that they're here in this land of liberty and, you know, all of those things that we know from our ancestors, like John was just talking about. It seemed to be a little bit different attitude, though, because I know for my grandmother, who came here from Ireland and spoke Gaelic, she would not allow her children to speak Gaelic. You're in America, you will speak English.
That happened to a lot of families.
Yeah, absolutely. They wanted to assimilate. It's a different feeling now.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is... The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
With Pat and Jeffy today, Glenn is back Monday morning, 888-727-BECK. Sometimes it's hard to believe the things that come out of the mouth of the people on MSNBC. The morning cup of postum with Susie and Biffy or whatever their names are.
I love Susie and Biffy.
Biffy is great.
I love them.
And really, so is Biffy, if I were to be honest. They're both
Thank you.
Fantastic.
I know, that's what I was trying to say. I love them. I love them.
I mean, you know what's fun with Joe and Mika is that they used to deny, and they used to get really angry when you insinuated that there was a little something going on between the two of them. Oh, no, or nothing could be
dare you.
How dare you say that? Is just so wrong of you to infer
we're just
that.
Working with each other.
Mm-hmm. We just got this wonderful work relationship. We're completely businesslike and professional over here. Uh-huh. Now he's trying to make out with her on camera.
Right.
And I guess they're getting married sometime. Nobody knows when.
Are they?
We'll see.
I don't know. I think that was look, if you guys are going to be busy fooling around in your office every afternoon, at least say you're getting married.
Maybe. Maybe that's what's going on. I don't know.
Look, if they're happy and they want to get married and spend the rest of their life together, good for them.
You know what amazes me, though, is, you know, he's always claimed that he's this hardcore conservative.
Well, you said claimed? He is.
I mean, and rightly so. Why wouldn't he claim?
Okay, thank you.
Since he is so obviously conservative.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen to this.
I wonder why.
Talking about that in the next block.
I do wonder why people that used to call themselves conservatives, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, people who used to claim to be Republicans.
Is there anything that could come out of his mouth at this point that would make any lick of sense?
I can't believe
Joe Scarborough is going down this road.
But aren't. They're not even close.
They're not, and not
I
even
guess
close.
They never were.
He guesses they never were. Joe Scarborough? Attention, pot. Someone is calling the kettle black. Attention, Mr. Pot. Who's calling the kettle black? That is unbelievable. No self-awareness at all.
No way. No way.
Mr. MSNBC, Mr. Jump on every conservative principle and every conservative person and everything that even smacks of Republican, he and Mika have dissected for years now. But Laura Ingraham and Sean Hannity are not conservatives and never were? Oh. Okay, thank you. It's good to know. Fascinating. Also, Pope Francis urging governments to make good on their commitments to curb global warming.
That's about time.
Yeah, finally. Warning that climate change, continued unsustainable development, and rampant consumption threatens to turn the earth into a vast pile of rubble, deserts, and refuge. How many times have I said almost exactly the same thing?
Thank you.
Well, never. It's never happened, but still. He made the appeal at a Vatican conference marking the third anniversary of his landmark environmental encyclical, Praise Be. The document, meant to spur action at the 2015 Paris Climate Conference, called for a paradigm shift in humanity's relationship with Mother Nature. There is real danger that we will leave future generations only rubble, deserts, and refuge.
Thank you.
But the Paris Accord, I guess, is going to fix that. Because, that could lower the temperature by something like 0.05 degrees over the next 50 years. Seriously. I mean, the Paris Accord does nothing. It doesn't fix it. And they admitted it doesn't fix it. It, even if everybody abided by it, even if the United States stayed in it and we all abided by the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, it still doesn't, it wouldn't avoid the catastrophe they're claiming is coming. Just this global warming thing is agonizing.
I'm glad I can stop my letter writing to the Pope, though. He's finally taking care of it.
Have you been trying to get him on the global warming bandwagon?
I was sending letters to the Vatican. Pope. Yeah, get on this.
I don't know if you were aware of this. He's been on it for a long time. Maybe he was just reading your mind.
Jeffy,
because I think he's been on it for a while.
Huh.
Charles in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
Last time caller, just so you know.
Okay.
Okay, good.
Are you losing your phone, or you just decided you don't want to speak into it anymore? Why is that happening?
What's happening? You getting an echo?
You said you were last time caller, didn't you?
No, yeah.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
Two simple requests. Mm-hmm. One, quit playing recordings of Ruth Ginsburg. It really makes me hot. And wow. I've got to get to the office, and, you know, now I've got to air out or something, take another shower.
Yeah, yeah.
The other is, with our great American actors, I mean, where would they be today, transgenders, if it hadn't been for great transgender actors like Wesley Snipes and Patrick Swayze? Yeah, with Fu Manchu and all that stuff.
Right, right.
And way before that, back in the 50s and 60s, our greatest American Indian actors would have been, you know, Charles Bronson, Chuck Connors.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't know anything about Geronimo today if it hadn't been for Chuck Connors. He left his tribe to get into acting, you know.
Yeah, he did. Boy, that was a different time, man.
Yes, it was.
You couldn't get away with that stuff anymore.
No, not even close.
Thanks, Charles. Appreciate it.
Not even close.
James in Texas, you're on the Glenn Beck program.
I had a kind of a question tying into both Travis's call earlier about the, you know, finding jobs and economy and skilled people, but also the immigration debate. I don't really understand fundamentally how Democrats can be against Trump's merit-based approach when a merit-based approach would likely lead to greater amounts of South American immigrants and so on and so forth. And the reason is that I was a business professor. I may go back being a business professor in the future. But I used to tell my students on the first day of class, I'd say, how many of you expect to make, you know, $30,000 right out of college? No one would raise their hand. Then 40, 50, you know, and above 50, you start seeing hands pop up. And I'd be like, well, you know, you're living in fairy tale land because you're not going to get that right now. But had you gone and learned to become a welder or learned to plumb or something like that and learned a skill that nobody currently has and is a diminishing resource in our community, mm-hmm. you'd be able to demand $78,000, which is like the starting salary of a welder right out of school, is $78,000. Well, a marketing person, they start out at 27, you know, and it's because everybody has to now, you know, get a college degree, and Democrats are pounding the table. $15 an hour minimum wage, and everybody gets free college and everything else. Well,
yeah.
Then we're never going to have any of those trades learned anymore, you know. It's all about, you know, what do people think and blah, blah, blah. And let's learn how to do, you know, for my case, let's learn how to do creative ads and everything else. And be like, nobody does that anymore. People need something solved and you don't have that skill. And that's why, you know, you hear so many people from South America, they're hard workers and they come up here and they work their butt off. Well, if we had merit-based approach and they had those skills, they'd be flowing in and having immediate jobs in this economy. But for some reason, they want to have open borders, send everybody to college, and then have this huge skills gap where nobody can take care of themselves. And then we all have to just turn around and lean on the government.
Yep. And they encourage all that. Appreciate the call. Thanks, James.
Yes,
good point. And they encourage all of that and also encourage them to go to the most expensive schools in the country and then incur this massive debt.
That's a must.
And then whine and complain about it and how they can't survive afterwards. Well, If you'd gone to a trade school, like James just kind of suggested, you'd come out and make $78,000 a year.
Yep, and many of those
with an actual skill.
And many of those companies that we have talked to and that we know about, I mean, they provide, they will pay you to learn that skill.
Yeah,
because they want you to work for them when it's done, because they have jobs to do, And it's fascinating to me that you just wouldn't do that.
Yeah, and
I just don't understand
it. And in school, they just push, you know, they push sameness. Everybody's got to do the same thing. Everybody's got to go to the same schools. Everybody's got to go to the good schools. And you must go to the university system or you're going to be a failure in life. And that's just hammered into their heads. So that's what they think. And they haven't worked their way through school, many of them, most of them. So they're unprepared for the debt structure that they have afterward. Right. The parents can't afford it a lot of times. They certainly can't. And so they take out loans and they owe $200,000 at the end of it. Well, that was your choice.
Yeah.
Don't now start whining about it. Like Barack Obama, Barack and Michelle, who complained about debt, even when they were making $5 million a year and had paid off all their debt. I'm sorry, you guys went to, between you, was it 3 or 4 Ivy League schools? Of course you've got debt.
You got a little debt. You got a little debt. It's okay.
They went to Columbia. They went to Harvard. And then she went somewhere else in there too, I think. Princeton, maybe. Didn't Michelle go to Princeton? I don't remember. But they went to at least three Ivy League schools. Well, you think you got some debt after that?
Yeah.
Huh, what a surprise. What an amazing surprise.
I mean, it's going to happen. There's no doubt about it. And one of the things that happens also is that without paying as you go to school, mm-hmm. you do lose the idea of that, well, I can stop and start again. You don't have to go straight through.
Right.
I mean, my dad stopped 2 or 3 times because he couldn't afford it, raising a family, you know, going to college. And
yeah.
Then he'd go back until he got the degree.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. You can do that.
It is.
The universities allow that to happen. She went to Harvard Law and Princeton.
Princeton. I thought it was. Yeah. And then she whined.
I ask you, don't we deserve a president who understands what it's like to carry a little loan debt, who knows that access to an education shouldn't be based on whether your family can afford it, that we need to train our young people and give them opportunities? Don't we deserve that kind of leader?
Don't we deserve the kind of leader that has loan debt? That what you're asking me?
That's exactly what she asked.
And they cheer it wildly.
That's exactly what she asked.
What a bizarre situation we find ourselves in. Ugh. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BECK.
Well aware.
Yes. Earl in Ohio, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Yeah, what I was calling about probably in the neighborhood of 30 years ago, the United States should have offered Mexico statehood because Mexico couldn't even afford to drill a well. And if we'd have done that back then, maybe we wouldn't have near the problems that we've got now.
We may have more.
Yeah, it could have gone one of two ways. Could have been a disaster as well. However, I don't think they would have accepted that. Thanks, Earl. I think they want to be their own sovereign nation. There was a time when we could have just taken them and did, in fact, during the Mexican-American War.
Colonialist best.
I mean,
of course you bring that up. Of course you do.
We sent troops all the way to Mexico City, took over their capital city, and we could have made them another state. We could have stayed, just made ourselves at home.
Here we are.
But we chose not to.
You belong to us now.
In fact, not only did we give them back that territory and said, okay, we're just going to keep, you know, Texas and that region, California, New Mexico, Arizona.
And you're going to be
Utah.
Happy with it.
Yeah, and you're going to love it. But not only that, we're going to give you $15 million. Why?
What?
We just kicked your butt in a war, and now we're paying you too? It's amazing the things this country does.
It sure is.
It's amazing. David in Washington, you're on the Glenn Beck Program. Hi.
Hey, going back to the Mexico thing, why don't we put them on the state sponsored of terror? Because the new president has actually said that
I know
he's going to give the drug cartels free reign and then put a travel ban on them.
Well, I don't think he said that he was going to give them free reign, right? Yeah, he just said he was going to make it work. Something which meant do nothing, obviously, but it was. I don't think he actually has.
I don't think the words he chose were free reign.
No,
that would.
No, that's not.
That
a quote.
Would have prompted some feedback.
Yes,
I think.
Yes.
Thanks, David.
That would have maybe helped a lot.
Yeah, I missed the free reign speech.
Yes, I did too.
Although he did say some interesting things about immigration,
and he's right in the sense that that's really what it meant.
Yeah.
No question.
Well, he wants to live. Look at all of the people that's killed in the last 9 months.
That's right. That's right. He wants to live. Yeah, that's a great...
Dangerous.
Of course he does.
Dangerous to cross the drug cartels in Mexico.
Glenn Beck.
Pat Gray and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck program. Coming up right after this, immediately following this program... On theblazeradio.com and theblazetv.com.
We don't just go off the air?
No. Mm-mm. You can check out this special edition of my show, Pat Gray Unleashed, on The Blaze Radio and The Blaze TV. Did a special show a while ago. The Blaze Got Talent, and so people called in from all over the country with their special talents.
It's really good.
It's really fun.
It is,
it's a fun show.
Is, if you heard it the first time, you'll want to hear it again, and if you haven't heard it, you need to listen to
Here's
it.
Here's your big chance.
Yeah, it was really good, and you'll see just other people, other fellow listeners that have a talent just like you.
Yes, right. there's a big heat wave going on in Europe right now, and... Apparently, this was the other day in Greece. The passengers were on a flight, and they were not allowed to get off the flight. You know, they were stuck on the tarmac.
Yeah, on the tarmac, which...
This drives me nuts.
Me too. Don't let them
off the plane.
Don't get me started.
Let them off the plane. But they stayed there for 3 hours in this unbearable heat with no air conditioning.
See, that should be a crime.
Uh-huh.
That should be a crime.
Yes, it should. I don't know why, when they know it's going to happen. You know, you had that flight a couple of years ago with the, it was maybe 10 years ago now, so it's more than a couple. But it was that JetBlue flight that they were stuck on the tarmac for 11 hours. And in fact, the CEO of JetBlue lost his job over that.
Good.
But in this particular case, they were stuck on the plane for 3 hours. People were passing out. Others were vomiting because it was so hot. And they won't let them get off the plane. I don't understand that. I would probably be arrested.
I know I would be.
Because if I'm there with my kids or, you know, my wife and my kids or grandkids or whatever, and we're stuck on a plane, I'm going to get a little testy.
Yes, I know I would
and
be
you get
arrested.
Testy on a plane, you'll be arrested.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. And you could, in today's world, you don't even have to get tested. Mm-hmm. You just have to make the flight attendant mad.
Yeah. Right.
With
some kind
of attitude, and they could throw you in jail.
They said the temperature in the plane rose to 48 degrees Celsius.
No,
which
how do we even know? What? So you've already
we don't. There's no way to know. Wouldn't you use metric measurements?
Were they passing out because it was so cold? You started telling me that it was so hot. But.
There's no way to tell how it could have been 15 below or 1,500 degrees. I don't know.
I mean...
What is
do they need
48?
A blanket or do they need air conditioning? I don't know what the...
Okay, 48 Celsius is 118 degrees. Now, if you're on a plane and you're in the back of the plane and it's 118 degrees, come on now. Come on. You got to let them have some air and get outside.
Yes.
You know, sometime somebody's going to have a heart attack and die on one of these stranded planes on the tarmac, and you're going to wish... You just maybe had some people come out and safely, accompany them back to the terminal.
Yes.
Why can't you do that? I just don't understand it. But you've got this heat wave, and then in Europe, and it's so hot, apparently.
How hot is it?
It is so hot that trucks are melting into the road. They have this this bin lorry, a garbage truck. You know, they don't understand what to call things in England. Have you ever noticed that?
This is Greece, though, right?
A bathroom is a loo, and a garbage truck is a bin lorry.
Come on.
What's the matter with you people?
You're picking up trash.
Have we taught you nothing in the last 242 years? Anyway, it apparently melted into the roadway. Now, it was a heat wave in Britain and Europe is not what a heat wave in Texas is, or a heat wave in Florida, or anywhere in the Midwest, because you know how hot it was when the truck supposedly melted into the roadway? 86 degrees.
Oh, my gosh.
86?
We do 86.
That's a winter day for us. Don't tell me you were having some unbearable heat wave and people are dying when it's 86.
I mean, I'm going to go back to a Pat Gray line. Have we taught you nothing?
Have we taught you nothing?
We know that you're still living in some buildings that were built, you know, before the beginning of time.
Yes.
So maybe you put in a window air conditioner.
Maybe.
With an extension cord to the house. I don't know.
Well, this does happen from time. And I realize their summers are incredibly moderate. Their summers, like 70 is their temperature on a daily basis.
Right.
Whereas here, it's 100. You know, 18 on an average of 18 days during the summer in Dallas, Fort Worth, it reaches 100 plus.
And there's plenty of cities, in all over America that are hot.
Yeah, it's 90 plus every day.
Every day.
It's 95 plus every day. And it's hot and it's humid. Now, they don't have that problem in Europe. Normally, it's, 65 to 75 there, which is, I can't imagine what that would be like anymore. I would give anything for 65 to 75 degrees in the summertime.
You could move there, Pat. I don't know.
Summer in Texas has made me hate summer.
It does get a tad warm.
Yeah, it's unbearable.
It does get a tad warm.
It's unbearable. So
I thought, I lived, like we talked before, where Houston and Tampa are so humid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you walk outside and it just slams you right into the face, man. I'd forgotten how bad Florida was until the last time I went down there. And it was like,
it's nasty.
That's right.
I mean, But the humidity keeps the temperature from getting above 100 much.
Yeah, it stays.
In fact,
plus,
are you aware that in Tampa, the temperature has never reached 100 degrees?
Yeah, from
you aware of that?
Not
in recorded history. Not since they started keeping records in 1890, it has never hit 100 in Tampa. That's amazing to me.
That is amazing. But you get the Gulf breezes coming that cool all that stuff down, too.
Right. The humidity and the Gulf breezes.
But when you have, 90 days of 90-degree weather and humid, and it feels like
110. Yeah.
110?
110.
Yeah, 110, 109. 110, 109, one or the other. And it becomes tiring.
Oh, yeah.
It's every day.
Yeah,
it's debilitating.
It's agonizing. So I understand that because the temperatures are so moderate, they don't normally have air conditioning in most, because they don't need it most of the year. But about once a year, they get a heat wave and it heats up to 85 or 90. Big deal.
Right.
But people start dying in that heat. So here's an idea. Get a window air conditioner.
Right.
Stick it in your window, cool off one room, and go stay in that room.
Stay in that room.
How it's dumb are these Europeans?
Have you learned nothing?
I mean, it's not that tough, is it?
It doesn't seem to be. It really doesn't.
Shouldn't be.
I guess we're the only country that, realizes that, hey, we can live while it's really hot. We're just going to make machines that make it cold. Okay.
I guess so. Yeah. Well, and then that's where we use some energy. Obviously, because we're trying to keep ourselves alive in a Texas summer or a Florida summer.
It gets out of here, though, man. This is almost like, and I know that's, there's plenty of places all over the world in the country that gets hot. But since we've lived in Texas, the North Texas here, DFW, it almost feels like this time of year here is winter elsewhere. Because
you don't want to go outside that much.
I end up saying, we'll do it in the fall.
Right. Right. My family was going to come down for a visit, and we're going to do a family reunion here. And I'm saying, let's do it in August.
Yeah.
And none of them would come in August. They're like, nope, we're not coming to the Texas heat in August. All right, you babies.
August has started to cool down a little bit. No problem. You got it. It'll be like 89 at night.
Oh, yeah. 89, 90, 91.
With a cool breeze, you're fine.
And during the day, it's only like 104, 105.
Oh, that's in the not shade.
Bad at all. That's not bad. 888-727-BECK, 888-727-BECK. We've been talking about several things, including the fact that President Trump has supposedly narrowed the list for potential Supreme Court nominees. I'm going to get his exact wording here because, here's what he said. I think I have it down to four people.
Okay, good.
And I think of the four people, I have it down to three or two.
Amen.
Amen. Then he says, I think they're all outstanding. I don't want to say the four, meaning their names, but I have it down to four. I'll have a decision made in my mind by Sunday. We'll announce it on Monday. So that's what he said in Great Falls, Montana yesterday. Thankfully, he didn't go to the mean streets of Helena. Oof. Because you don't want the Secret Service to have to worry about that. I mean, that's too dangerous a trip for
I actually thought about that yesterday when I saw that he was going to be in Montana.
No, he wasn't on the mean streets of Helena.
Wow, that's some dangerous ground, even for Donald Trump, right?
Yes. Yeah. So he's trying to get rid of John Tester, Senator John Tester in Montana. There's no reason for Montana, which is a red state.
He's the Democrat senator from there.
Right? Yeah, to have a Democrat senator. But they do on a fairly regular basis. I mean, they had Max Baucus for years, and that guy became very liberal over time. Yeah. Started out pretty moderate, but became liberal. And now they've got John Tester. Why? Stop it. Stop it. So hopefully Trump will have some impact there in that particular election. 888-727-BECK. Luke in Pennsylvania. You're on the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Doing good.
Your heat thing, it's 90 and flooding up here, so you guys aren't missing out on much up in this part of the world, too.
Okay.
But I was calling in, millennials taking a lot of shots today, and as one of them, I kind of want to call in and just defend us for a second.
Okay.
We take a lot of shots for being the trophy generation. Everybody needs a trophy.
Yeah.
I don't really remember at 12 years old being able to afford trophies for the whole team. So I just want to just throw that out there.
Okay.
That we weren't really made... I'd have to put a lot on the adult age for making us this way.
Well,
put a little bit of love on that.
Oh, it was our fault.
No question. Yes.
It was our fault.
It was.
But as a millennial, I will take blame. I try not to defend my entire generation because you guys probably wouldn't defend everybody in your generation as well.
Right.
But we got some hard workers out there, man. I mean, there's a lot of us that grind every day and
I know.
Look for opportunities.
Yep. But no, I believe it.
I just want to call in and just. We're not all that people that we keep getting lit on.
Thanks for that reminder, Luke. Appreciate it. We do know that.
Yes, we do.
And we do know who's responsible for the millennials who are that way, who are the participation trophy generation, and that mindset. We know what happened there. It was their parents.
Yeah.
It was their teachers. It was their school system. And that was all run by adults.
And that was many people saying, "Oh, it's all right. It's just the way it is.
We don't want anything. We don't want any kind of adversity to enter their lives until they're, I don't know, 30, and then they won't know how to handle it." I mean, that unfortunately, that wasn't the mindset.
No,
it should have been the mindset. Well, they won't know how to handle anything if you don't allow any adversity into their lives. If you're giving them participation trophies, if you're changing the grading system for them, if you're dumbing down the curriculum for them, if you tell them that they're special no matter what they do, if you tell them that everything they do is fantastic, if they can't sing a note and you're saying how great they are, they're going to show up on American Idol and embarrass themselves in front of the country. And they do every week.
Thinking that they sound good.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's incredible. They were told. Because they were told, wow, you are so talented. That
and
is
we
so
all
good.
Got a big kick out of Simon Cowell being the guy to take everybody by the helm and say, no.
Nope.
No.
That was atrocious. Somebody should have said that to him.
Did anyone in your life
sooner.
Ever tell you this before? Because no.
I mean, it's amazing. isn't it? It's every year you see that on America's Got Talent or American Idol, all of these talent shows. You see that they've been coddled their whole life. They've been told they're really good. Now, I think some of them are there just to goof on people.
Oh, absolutely.
Some of them know they're not good. But there are those who have been told their whole lives they really are good, and they think they are.
And there has been several that have been proven that are, you know, radio morning show hoaxes.
Uh-huh.
You know, those kind of bits. We got all that. But there were, but you know, there are
some legitimate millennials who think they're great when they suck. 888-727-BECK. More Pat and Jeffy for Glenn on the Glenn Beck Program coming up. It's Pat and Jeffy for Glenn. Are there? There's a couple of new job openings if you're a millennial or a
there are. We've been talking about
Gen Z
people needing
looking
jobs
for a job.
Looking for work. Listen, there's an employee that was just fired at Starbucks in Philadelphia.
So Starbucks in Philadelphia. One. Are they paying, what do you make, $150,000 or so to start?
I'm not sure what the salary is at Starbucks in Philadelphia.
Like a free car provided and keys to your new mansion?
Here's the deal.
Okay.
If you can work out that kind of arrangement with the owner, good for you. Good for you.
Okay.
But it's up to you to do it.
All
no
right.
problem. Yeah, that particular
why is there an opening there?
Well, that particular employee made fun of one of the customers that was stuttering.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
And wrote it on the cup?
Well, yeah.
One of those
and repeated
again?
It back. Oh. And repeated it back like he said that his name was Sam, only stuttered it. So she repeated it back. Oh, okay, thanks, Sam.
Oh, my gosh.
And then wrote SSSAM on the cup. You know, because Starbucks, I know you don't drink coffee, but Starbucks, when you go there to order something, they put your name. I never tell them my name. I always give them another name.
Oh, you do?
Always.
Why?
Always. Just because it makes me smile.
Okay. Yeah.
Lloyd, Henry, Harvey, whatever. Just something.
Okay.
It just makes me smile.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah. So,
so he complained.
He complained. He wrote a big Facebook post to Starbucks and it was complaining to Starbucks.
Was she mocking or did she think he was kidding?
I because of the fact that they don't say in the story or they didn't say in the Facebook post complaint that they had an opportunity to say, hey, what are you doing to the barista at the time? You know, they waited till it was all over to be mad.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, yo, what's the problem? You know better than to be doing that, right? I mean, my friend here stutters and we're trying to, you know better than to make fun of it. So if perhaps she's hearing people give her names, this was kind of the way I was looking at it at first, is people are giving her names all day. Lloyd, Henry, Harvey, whatever the name is. And so when you get up there and she hears Sam, she might think, not thinking that it's a stutterer. I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, best case scenario.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. But why not say something there? Why not say something there?
Yeah.
Now, Starbucks didn't necessarily handle it great either, really, because the original Facebook post, they said, oh, hey, sorry, we don't like our employees like that. Here's $5. We'll send you a $5 coupon.
Wow.
So now that, of course, they've responded and, you know, terminated the employee. And I don't know if they're going to take time off and have some other day of education for their employees on how to treat people. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen.
Let's hope so.
I mean, thank you. And then there's a place in Cincinnati. If you don't want to live in Philly, I get it. You go to work for Dunkin' Donuts in Cincinnati. There's a person, a job opening there. A homeless woman was out front and came inside to buy a cup of coffee, and the employee wrote on the cup, hey, stop hanging out in front of the store if you have a full-time job. Management. She wrote management on the cup. I know.
That's just stupid.
I know.
Just stupid.
The employee obviously was not a manager, and the person who was the manager and the owner said, no, we do not treat people like that, and you're fired. So I'm guessing that, do businesses want homeless people hanging out in front of their businesses all the time? No.
Well, yeah, Starbucks does. In fact, they invite them in and have them sit there and
use
the bathroom
Do most businesses want that? No, they do not.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Bananas could go extinct. This is the first I'm hearing of this. Apparently you've known about this problem?
It's been going on for about 3 or 4 years now, where they've been really battling this this illness that the bananas face. And there's only, you know, the bananas that we all love and cherish here in the United States, that's like one breed. You know, there's not a lot of breeds.
Bananas are clones.
And so...
So the disease spreads quickly.
And when they... well, thank you, Mr.
You're welcome.
Banana expert.
Yeah, just off the top of my head. It's apparently Panama disease, major threat to banana crops around the world. But experts are now saying that a special breed of banana found in Madagascar could hold the key to keeping them alive.
Nice.
But there's only 5 known trees in existence.
See? Big vegetable could go down at any time, man, when the disease hits like that.
Well,
when
you only have vegetable, that's fine. I just don't want big fruit to go down.
I mean, we've been creating all this, you know, this great, those apples look great and they're big and they're shiny, but one little disease, man, boom, you're back to eating the crappy one laying on the ground like we did for years, years and years.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody wants to eat the pear that hits the dirt on the ground in the backyard anymore, but those were just as good as they were that they are today.
It's I can't believe I haven't heard of this. You've known about this for a while?
They've been battling it for a while.
I haven't heard it. It's apparently wreaking havoc with banana crops in Asia.
3 or 4 years ago, I thought they originally started. That's when they first started noticing it and talking about it. And I thought they were. Actually, I didn't think it was still as bad because I hadn't heard about it. And now you brought it up today, and I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. They've been talking about that.
Yeah, they're worried if it spreads to the United States, if it spreads to America, that could wipe out the entire world supply of bananas.
Think of that.
Can you imagine that? I love bananas.
Think of that. You have to start growing your own. Bananas are tough, you know.
You ever, you know, in Houston, we had a banana tree.
Absolutely, I have too. I had it in Florida before.
They didn't taste good, but we had one.
Well, they aren't the cloned bananas that you're used to. Okay, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
did you grow the little teeny ones?
Yeah.
And you can't kill that banana tree. I mean,
no.
I don't know what kind of disease would wipe. I tried to wipe that thing out. It grew so fast and so big that, I mean, we were continually cutting it down to the ground.
We had a banana tree, and we also had, there was a couple of plants along the side of our house that I about killed the kids in my neighborhood for playing and chopping all those bushes and beating them all down to the ground and making it look like crap one day. They grew back.
Oh, I know. Like in a week, they're back.
I apologize, man, to the kids. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, man. Just don't be doing that thing about bushes, but they're fine. Don't worry about it.
So it must be, I mean, the bananas that we actually eat and the bananas that are grown and you see at the grocery store, there must be a different variety. Because the bananas I had in Houston were incredibly resilient. You couldn't kill them.
But they're not.
It would have gotten Panama disease.
But they also didn't have the taste.
No, that's
they
right.
They didn't have the drive that we love, right?
Yeah.
So the ones that we can't kill, we don't really want to eat those.
Don't want to eat them.
Yeah.
No.
So that's why we have the cloned ones, right? They've made these clones. They're like, oh, people will eat these. These are great. They get ripe. They're good. We're good to go. Okay, great disease.
Yep. That's the way it goes, I guess, huh? 888-727-BECK. Ron, in Germany, you're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Yeah. Hey, just wanted to tell you, when you was talking about air conditioning over here in Europe,
yeah,
the reason why private households don't have it is because the cost of electricity is through the roof because of their green energy programs.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
That certainly makes sense, yeah.
Oh, that's agonizing.
I use heating oil for my main heating in the winter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the heater doesn't use electricity. And my monthly electricity bill is 120 euros, which equates to about $143 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't even use it.
Yeah,
amazing.
First of all, they have different types of windows over here. They don't sell window units, but they do sell mobile units, and you got to run the exhaust hose out a door or out the window.
Really?
Yeah,
wow, that is...
Your temperatures were a little wrong there. The highs have been in the hundreds for the last 7 or 8 years, but typically our summers are in the 80s and 90s.
80s and 90s.
All right.
Really?
Just not that humid.
Okay. Because I don't think that's the case in Britain, though. I think...
Oh, no. Yeah. Over there, it's a little bit cooler, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's where we were generally talking about the temperatures being in the 65 to 75 range. And then they start whining and complaining when it's 86 degrees. You know, get a grip.
So, Ron, have you in your life ever seen a garbage truck melted to the road in Germany because it was so hot?
No.
What are you doing in Germany? You in the military or?
I talked to you on your own show once, but no, I'm retired military, but stayed here after I got out.
Okay, so you must like it over there, huh?
Put it this way. I still got the blue passport. I'm an American citizen and just a legal resident over here. So I'm enjoying the best of both worlds.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Nice. Be safe.
Yeah. Phil in South Carolina. You're on the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Hey, great to talk to you.
You too.
I believe I have a cheap and immediate fix for the illegal immigration problem. And we don't even need a border wall.
Oh, nice.
Well, anywhere in the world, our embassies are considered U.S. property. So we just expand our embassy in Mexico by a couple hundred acres. Every time someone comes across the border, we bus them right down there for processing. If they have a legitimate claim to come in, we bring them into the United States. In the meantime, the children are kept with their parents. There's no fence because they're free to leave anytime they want. We put up the same kind of tents they have at where they're holding them now with air conditioning and beds. We feed them, treat them humanely, mm-hmm. and if they have a legitimate complaint, fine. But everyone is kept at the embassy in Mexico. And I think you'll find that after a while, if they're not there for a legitimate reason, they're just going to go on home. But that way we don't have any expense, we don't need a border wall, and everybody's kept together.
Hmm.
I mean, I kind of like the way that sounds off right from the top. There's got to be something that will be make you stop that, right? Like Mexico's not going to let you expand the embassy.
All right, if we're going to pay for the land, I think they'd love to have it. And then we don't need a border wall, and Trump doesn't have to make them pay for it.
Why don't we need a border wall?
Well, because when people find out they're just going to get bussed down to our embassy in Mexico, they're less likely to even come across the border to begin with. We'll still have border guards there. Mm-hmm. We'll round them up. But you don't need the wall because they're not going to come over in the masses that they're coming over in now. Because now they know if they just get one foot on the ground, they're here. But once they find out, no, I'm just going to get on a bus and go down to Mexico, you know, it's
well, still got the people sneaking into the country, though.
It hasn't stopped them with the separating their families thing. No. So I don't know that they'll be deterred by going back down to our embassy.
It would certainly take thousands of them out of the country right now.
Yeah.
Yes, it would.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Yes, appreciate it.
Hey, at least he was trying to think of something out of the box.
Right.
To help us out.
Yeah.
We're going to build the wall.
Definitely
we're
out of the
wall,
box.
Mister. I don't want that wall. I want to see that thing from space.
Yeah. We want a wall so high you can see it from the moon. Yes. That's what I want.
With the close sign on it.
WL in Denton. Yes, welcome sir. To the Glenn Beck program. Hi.
Thank you. Glenn Beck, you're outstanding, you and your crew. And my focus is to be on the airline in this three-hour time out on the tarmac. It's ridiculous. I was an airline pilot for 26 years, started with Western, but captain with Delta for my last number of years, and astounding. Captain is in command and in charge of his crew. You see some of the things where they pull off the screaming Oriental, and it's kind of like captain sitting over there with his teeth in his mouth.
Right.
And it's kind of like you're in charge. And as far as this three-hour thing, they've reduced that. It used to be where they could stay out there as long as they want. And as a little bit of insight is once you close the front door, the jetway pulls away, you release the brakes, you're on the clock. So these guys are getting paid as if they're flying, being out there on the ramp for 3 hours.
Wow.
And that shouldn't happen.
Right.
Number two, it's your duty. Hey, I was a combat fighter pilot and flew 417 combat missions in Vietnam, and you get the experience where you find where GCA runs the flying safety officer into the ground because the radar controller loses sight on the defect in the screen instead of getting them turned vector to final. So from all those missions, by the way, I just got to get it in, Bernie Fisher, is one of my heroes, Mormon Congressional Medal of Honor, the A1 landing to pick up a guy down who was astounding. But as far as this thing with the airlines, it's kind of like with the military. I graduated from the Air Force Academy. I'm not a prima donna. Mm-hmm. Grew up poor as dirt, dug ditches and everything else. But it's kind of like duty on a country in the military. Same way with service, customer service. Oh, and I was supposed to stick the point. I want you to replay all that Stetler, Brian, whatever thing again. That was astounding. That was so cool.
I love that.
Got up and says, I'm out of here. You look great.
All right.
Thanks,
WL. Yeah, appreciate it. You covered a lot of territory there. What was the last part?
Appreciate it. I wanted you to replay the stuff.
Replay which
the
stuff?
The stuff that we liked.
Yeah, I didn't. I wasn't sure what stuff he was talking about.
No, it was the stuff.
Okay,
the Hitler stuff, I think.
Oh, okay. Is that what it was?
I think, I don't know.
The Hitler stuff.
I don't know.
We'll replay that. Yeah. All right. We'll get to that in just a minute here. appreciate your service too. Thank you, WL.
Absolutely.
Thanks for your service to the country.
My gosh. And he makes a great point on, look, those pilots and the people in charge, that sitting there with their arms crossed, not doing anything has...
It's unbelievable to me.
Absolutely agonizing.
Unbelievable. I mean, there's no reason to keep people in that tube.
Right.
When it's 120 degrees in there.
Stop it.
And you're just sitting there for 3 hours? Come on now. It's insanity.
And you're locked in your little cubby up front. It's all good.
Right.
No.
Ridiculous. 888-727-BECK. We're talking about the heat in Europe. Apparently, Southern Cal is about to get some potentially dangerous heat.
Oh, no.
Forecast is predicted would send the temperature soaring to record levels create conditions that could spread wildfires.
I hope we don't lose any garbage trucks melted to roads or
anything. Me too. According to meteorologist Alex Tardy, he says we could shatter some records. San Diego County community of El Cajon, for example, was forecast to hit 43.3 degrees Celsius. Well,
we don't.
Nobody knows how hot that is. That could be 18 below, could be 400 degrees above. I don't know. What is that? There's no way to tell.
I feel like all these weather stories
They're trying to jam this stuff down our throats.
They continually are starting to use the metric system
all the
time.
They're forcing it down my throat. You've noticed
that, too? Every story.
Yes.
It's really getting annoying.
Now, it's 110 degrees in San Diego, and they're not used to that.
No.
It's 72 and perfect every day, so they're getting just a little taste of Texas weather. You'd almost say, if it weren't for dangerous heat... you'd almost say, welcome to our nightmare. So not only do they have the Celsius reading here of 43.3, then they say breaking waves could reach 3 meters on some beaches.
See?
What?
See.
That's that 800 feet high or is it 5 inches? I don't know. There's no way to tell because it's metric. And that's not what we do in this country.
We said no to that.
Oh, we rejected this a long time ago.
That's websites trying to appeal to people down, you know, looking at their stories all over the world. You know what?
Make them read
feet and inches.
Yes.
Okay? If they live in another country, let them figure it out.
Right.
We said no.
Let them Google it and convert feet to meters or whatever metric thing they use.
Or I don't know, learn it.
I don't want to hear about kilometers. I want miles.
Pissing me off, man.
I don't want to see any Celsius. I want Fahrenheit.
More and more stories just continue to throw it in my face.
I've noticed that too.
Me off.
I've noticed that too, and it's got to stop.
Yes, and that has to be we've got to stop. Somebody's got to bring that to President Trump's attention. Somebody has to bring that to President Trump's attention. He's got to take care of this.
It might be the most pressing issue facing the United States of America
today. I don't care about the Supreme Court thing.
Whatever.
I don't care about the EPA thing.
No, stop the metric thing.
This has got to be taken care of.
Stop the metric system now. You remember, what's his face? Who during his campaign promise.
Oh, yeah, yeah. To the metrics, right?
What was that guy's name?
Oh, man. It was up in Massachusetts, Maine.
Not Massachusetts. Northeast, though. Vermont.
Northeast.
New Hampshire.
Oh, I can't remember who the guy
was. Chafee.
Oh, yeah, Chafee, yes.
Yeah, Chafee. Yeah.
Well, you're looking for Chafee. I'm just telling you to remember to listen to the Pat Gray program coming up right after this program on the Blaze Television and the Blaze Radio Network.
Right.
Because we are broadcasting a show that we recorded a month and a half ago or so of Blaze Got Talent. And you're going to just
hear talent from all over the country.
Tremendous talent on the show. I mean,
it's
seriously,
awesome.
No joke. Great talent on the show.
A lot of fun. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend. And Glenn, we'll be back on Monday right here.
Glenn Beck, Mercury.